Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Please write it in our hearts so that it may be lived in our lives. For your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. This is a sermon series to finish off a little series, from the book of Hosea. And Hosea, as we heard a few weeks back, is based around the idea that marriage matters. Marriage matters because it is the very best illustration of the type of relationship which God wants with everyone. The Lord reaches out to all people like a bridegroom proposing marriage, which means a lifelong partnership based on covenant love. Marriage matters. One, because it shows all of us how we can have a good relationship with God. In the second service this morning, baby Hugh is being brought for baptism by his believing parents, Rosie and Steve. Now, marriage matters to children like Hugh because, two, it makes a big difference to the outcomes in life for so many children. The Centre for Social Justice provided figures which say in our country, less than 1 in 10 married couples split by the time their child is 5 years old, whereas 1 in 3 cohabiting couples have separated by the 5th birthday. Marriage matters. It matters to children, and it matters to our society. Of those couples who stick together until their children reach adulthood, 97% in our country are married. Marriage matters if children are to grow up in the best environment of stability, which has such an influence on health and educational and other outcomes. Now, it's not necessarily so. Lots of single parents and cohabiting couples do a great job, and children whose upbringing is far from ideal can turn out great. And children of faithfully married couples can have big problems. But in general, marriage matters when it comes to what is best for children. And the evidence is large and consistent and obvious. And it's scandalous that our government chooses to ignore it. On Friday, Ruth Crouch, a member of this church, was 100. She was in very good form. I was reminded of a little article on a local news program a few years back where a lady was 100 and the cameras had gone, and they asked her, put the microphone in her mouth and said, "What's your secret?" And she said, "I smoke a cigarette every day." Now, even though a smoker can reach 100 years old, we know that the evidence is obvious that smoking does not lengthen your life. It shortens it, on average. And it's likely to result in problems, health problems and other problems. So the government acts on the evidence and favours non-smoking in the public arena. Why don't they act on the evidence and favour traditional marriage with its clear benefit for the bringing up of children and wider society? Marriage matters. Marriage matters, three, even though the Bible says it's good to be single. Over half of the British population is single. And in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul writes, "To the unmarried and widows I say it is well to remain unmarried as I am." And towards the end of the chapter, the same chapter, he writes, "He who marries his fiancée does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do better." Marriage matters, even though the Bible says it's better to be single. And, says Paul, there's more chance when you're single to be focused on the things of God, whereas married people can become anxious about pleasing others more than God. So 1 Corinthians 7 tells single people that they ought to get married if they want to be sexually active, because in God's eyes, marriage is the only right place for sex. But as long as people are self-controlled when it comes to sex, being single is better. As a church, we seek to help singles who would like to be married, and there is a card on the notice ball in the hall for those who are seeking a dating agency or a help website. As marriage matters, but it's good to be single if we can. The Bible's message on sexual activity and marriage and singleness pulls against the trends of today in Western cultures. But it is our society which is unusual over the whole span of history and over the whole family of nations. Marriage matters is the message since the very start of human history. Now, the Bible readings we had today, we're going to turn to the first of them now, Genesis 1 and 2. Here in the first chapters of the Bible, when the first humans appear, the gift of marriage comes straight after. And indeed, it's linked with the reason for which we're told God created humankind. So chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And then in chapter 2, towards the end, it goes on to say, "Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." So the ideas of marriage and sex within marriage are introduced right from the beginning. And it's worth noticing that the image of God is male with female. Male and female, he created them. Humankind, made in God's image, is male with female. And in chapter 2, verse 18 and following, the Lord made the first two humans to be of the same stuff, but different, complementary. And marriage is their calling because of their complementarity, a calling to stay together and be one in a sexual union. Marriage matters from the start of human history. Marriage between a man and a woman is what it's about. Now, this gift of marriage is what matters to God in the book of Hosea, as an illustration of how he wants to relate to all people on this earth. And this gift of marriage is what matters to Jesus, and he made that very clear when religious leaders put him on the spot in what was our gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. Was it page 46 in the New Testament section of the Bible? New Testament, yep, page 46. Mark 10, verse 2 is where the little incident happens. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" Why was it a testing question? Well, because Jesus lived in an easy divorce culture, and any answer which challenged that "do what you want to do" worldview would make him unpopular amongst many in the crowds, which was what the Pharisees were looking for. What would Jesus do? Well, first of all, he showed up their position with the sort of question behind it, "Why is divorce achieved by a quick piece of paper?" Can you see verse 3? He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." And then Jesus decided to make a stand, whether he would be unpopular or not. And the meaning of marriage he turned to was the Bible's teaching in Genesis 1 and 2, which is what he quotes in verse 5 and following. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Then Jesus added his own punchline, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Marriage matters to Jesus, doesn't it? That is, the Bible's teaching on marriage matters to Jesus. That is, the word of God on marriage since humanity began matters to Jesus. And Jesus knows that society often wants to soften the commitments in marriage and blur the edges and change the focus. But he associates that with hardness of heart, as he says in verse 5. A hardness towards God and his purposes for us as his beloved children and as his beautiful bride. In our generation, in our society, there is a lot of hardness of heart towards God and his word. Just in the last months, our government has introduced a remarkable novelty, which it calls gay marriage. And people support the government's position by saying things like this: Jesus doesn't speak against homosexual marriage, so it must be all right. Now, arguments from silence are very rarely clever. But more than that, Jesus does address the issue, not least here in Mark chapter 10. He shows that his understanding of marriage is that of Genesis 1 and 2, the Bible's clear teaching in marriage, Old Testament and New Testament, from beginning to end. And Jesus makes clear that as far as he is concerned, marriage is between a man and a woman, because that is the image of God, and that is how it has been given since the beginning of humanity for all humans. Jesus is really very clear about what marriage is. To claim otherwise is one-eyed. Jesus is clear that he stands for the biblical grounds that marriage is between a man and a woman, for sexual union, for life. Marriage matters to Jesus, doesn't it? And as someone who loves Jesus, marriage matters to me. I seek to follow Jesus, and so I seek to follow his teaching on marriage. I'm a Christian, and so I seek to obey Christ and his leadership on marriage. Jesus made a stand when he was put on the spot, and so I want to be faithful too, because marriage matters. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and thank you for your teaching. Thank you for your understanding of our world and us. And thank you for your clarity. Please, Lord, help us to be faithful. For your name's sake, amen.